on the far end there, Ibrahim Jabbar, and then Mark Zoller, and a coach, of course, head coach Glenn Miller. At this time, we'll ask Coach Miller to open the session with a statement.
Well, I was a little disappointed in the first half outside of these two guys. I thought we were a little intimidated in playing against such a good defensive team as Texas A&M. You get open opportunities, I think you have to knock down a reasonable amount of those shots, and we didn't. We dug ourselves a hole. With that said, in the second half, we collected ourselves, came out of the locker room, and showed some spunk to come back and, you know, take the lead. But, you know, they locked down on defense when they needed to, Texas A&M, and came up with some big shots. I think they hit three or four shots with 5 seconds or less on the shot clock, which really hurt us. Some penetration we had to help, offensive rebound follow-ups, and we were down 5 points, and there was a possession, played a good 1-3-1 zone, and they hit a little baseline runner there. So they made the plays when they needed to, but I was proud of the way we came back in the second half and competed, and yeah, we had a chance to win the game if we just could have made a few more plays. But these two guys here have had a great career, a lot of success, and just fortunate and to have the opportunity to coach them. It's a good year for us.
And we will take questions for the student athletes.
Mark or E.B., last year you all had an 8-point loss in the first round of this tournament. I thought tonight's game was closer than the final score would indicate. And I just wanted to get your feelings on how you think you all hung today.
Well, I think definitely we showed a lot of character coming back in the second half. A lot of teams could have just packed it in there, but I think we showed a lot of character coming together and actually taking the lead there. I guess they just made a bunch of plays. They kind of locked down on defense. I think we had a scoring drought after we took the lead. I can't remember, probably like a couple minutes. But, yeah, I think definitely we played very well, and I think it showed a lot of character coming back.
As far as Ibrahim, you're having a lot of success driving to the basket during your run when you guys took the lead. They made the switch, put a bigger guy on you. Was that a factor in the drought that you guys had, or just their overall defense getting better?
Well, I think we were a little late recognizing the mismatch. When they switched, they put a smaller guy on Mark. And once we got into a timeout, we were able to recognize it, and we got a lot of low post looks for Mark because he had a smaller guy guarding him.
Mark, early in the game, the score was not that bad, but I think I counted at one point you looking up at the scoreboard about four or five times, and it was only like 7-8. Did it feel like it was worse than it was because of the way things were going?
No, I don't think so. I think we were getting open looks and getting shots we wanted. We just weren't making them, and I guess kind of vice versa. They were getting a couple good looks. We had a couple miscues on defense, but I didn't think the game got away from us at any point.
Evie, we've talked about the fact that your college career would be over soon, and today was that day, and I think you left the game with a little over a minute left. Just your thoughts at that time as you left the court.
I can't really tell you what was running through my mind. Another wasted opportunity, probably. This being my last time, it hurt a little bit more, and my third time here as well, you know. You hope the third time's the charm, that's what they say, but it just didn't work out that way for us today.
For Mark and EB, what are the biggest sort of what-ifs from this game where you thought that something different could have happened?
That's a pretty tough question, but I guess what if we made a couple of those early shots and took the lead in that first half, it could have been a completely different ball game. I think we missed a couple of easy opportunities, myself included. Missed easy layup, wide open three. I think that could have changed the complexion of the game.
Mark, could you talk about the difficulty of rotating over and getting everybody blocked out when they're penetrating, specifically the two drives that Law had right after y'all taken the lead that the guys slammed back in?
Yeah, it was AC Law. He creates a lot of havoc in there just because of his penetration and just because you have to pay so close attention to him because he is an All-American candidate. And he just weakened the defense a little bit, and we were a little laxed on boxing out, and he just Jones came in and had two easy dunks, and I think that kind of changed the mood of the game, got the crowd more involved for them.
Two-part question for both of you guys. As your careers come to an end, what are you going to remember most about being Penn basketball players, and then what are you guys going to remember as your best win of your 4 years?
I say there's probably one answer to both of those questions, for me at least, and that's the Princeton game where we were down 7 minutes to go in the game, and we came back, pushed the game into overtime, and ended up winning. So that's the most memorable moment, I guess, of my career and the best game.
I'd have to agree. That was one of the most I guess energetic and entertaining games I've ever been a part of.
To follow that, where the NCAA experience, I mean, you have the great Ivy League seasons each year. You beat good teams out of the conference. This experience coming to this 3 out of 4, where does that stack up?
Definitely. This whole experience is just amazing. There's no greater feeling than on Selection Sunday seeing your name pop up and just having that feeling of accomplishment. And once you get here, I guess you're treated like royalty. And it's just, I guess you're kind of like an NBA player for a little bit, and everyone's taking care of you, making sure you need everything. It's just a great experience.
Mark, there were still 12 minutes left, but try to articulate a little bit what's going through your head when you guys actually took the lead.
I guess a lot of thoughts going through my head right there, but just trying to make, I guess, believers out of everyone in the stadium. Everyone I felt like was on our side at that point, and I guess we were kind of on top of the world.
Other questions for our student athletes?
Just general. Has it hit you guys that this is your last game in your career?
Not for me. Definitely not.
Yeah, I think so. I think for me, getting subbed out at the end of the game and just knowing that, you know, there's not a tomorrow for, you know, college basketball playing for the Quakers, kind of hit me a little bit hard. But hopefully, you know, I'll have some type of professional career somewhere, and you know, I'll continue to be able to develop my love for the game.
Other questions? Be hard to top that one. Gentlemen, we thank you for your participation, and we'll let you rejoin your teammates in the locker room. Again, congratulations to you and your teammates on a fine season, and we wish you well.
Thank you.
And we will entertain questions for Coach Miller.
Coach, We know that you came here today expecting to play with A&M, which you did. I wanted to know, as the first half unfolded, as you were there, what your concerns became?
Well, I just think when you know you're playing against a defensive team like Texas A&M, as good as they are defensively, then when you have some open looks, especially layups, you had better convert on those to stay in the game. And I thought we were a little bit intimidated, not aggressive enough. We weren't believers early, and it cost us. Did a good job of coming back out after halftime and playing with more aggression, more belief, and we got back in the game. But there's a little margin for error when you play against a team like Texas A&M, so you have to convert. I don't know how many layups we missed. I don't want to exaggerate, but I know, you know, they're hard-earned opportunities, and you have to convert, especially on easy ones, and we didn't. You know, and I thought, you know, despite them shooting a good percentage, for the most part, it's very difficult to defend their high-low action. They also have good shooters, required a lot of help on the backside, and when they get the ball on the top, at the top of the key, it really takes away your backside help, but we still gave it. But there were some points in the game where we went away from that, and they got good looks down low. We also went away from offensive execution, even in the second half. We had a dry spell there. So, again, there's a little margin for error. You've got to play really a complete game for 40 minutes. I thought at the end of the game, you know, Mark played tough defense, and I thought it took his leg. As well as he played in this game towards the end when he had some open looks coming out of timeouts, ran a few plays for him. He just didn't have the legs to shoot the ball because he used so much energy on a defensive end.
A.C. Law, what did you think his impact on the game was?
Well, his penetration hurt us with some big plays. You guys probably know better than I'm just trying to reflect on the game. But I thought in the second half there was probably four or five times when they scored with five or less seconds on the shot clock, and his penetration hurt.
Coach, what will you take out of this season, and what did you learn about the program?
Well, it's a program with great tradition, great pride. It's a championship program. We, you know, these two guys just left this room, had outstanding careers. They're winners, they're competitors. They're everything you would want out of kids that you coach. And, you know, we have some younger guys that have to do some work for us to keep this thing going. And those guys set a good example. But I've enjoyed every minute of this first year at the University of Pennsylvania, and I think the future is bright. It's just a great place to coach.
Coach, you talked about the contribution that Justin Riley gave you.
It was terrific. He's been coming. It's a big jump, as most of you probably know, from high school to college, and he's kept on working the entire season despite a lack of playing time, and he's really emerged over the last 8 or 10 games. And tonight, he played with a lot of confidence for a freshman who has had very little playing time. To step up and make the defensive plays and offensive plays he made really bodes well for the future. I was really impressed with his play and did a good job.
Coach, when you guys have that timeout with about 12 minutes left and you're winning by two, what is your and suddenly the whole stadium and the arena is pulling for you guys. What do you say to your team in the huddle? You know, were you at all concerned that A&M would do just what they did and go back on a run themselves?
Well, you're always concerned. They're such a good team. But it's a great feeling because your guys become believers a little more. And I'm talking outside of Mark and Eby. Those guys are believers all the time. They have a great amount of confidence in their games, but for the other guys who are inexperienced in these situations, big game situations, they become believers. But you have to keep them grounded. You have to concentrate on the upcoming possessions and what you have to do offensively and defensively.
Coach, yesterday Danley said he was going to be a game time decision. Looks like he gave it a go. And just your thoughts on him trying to get out there and maybe what you missed with him not in there with A&M's big guys.
For him to do what he give himself what he had to with the doctors and the treatments he had to receive to even have a shot at playing this game speaks volumes for his commitment to the team. But, you know, he hadn't practiced in 4 or 5 days, and it's very difficult. He practiced for 40 minutes yesterday here at Rupp Arena, and for him to go out and play in a game like this, he just was not effective, and I didn't see him being effective if I kept him on the floor. So I really feel for him, but he's a team guy. He's given everything he's had over the course of his career, and it's just a shame that he couldn't have been healthy to play in this game tonight. I know he's disappointed, but I give him all the credit in the world because a lot of guys wouldn't even have made an attempt.
Coach, a little bit more on Danley. When you were missing those shots early, you were not also getting any offensive rebounds. Is that a part where he could have helped out? And was that a key, do you think, as well, that you weren't getting any offensive rebounds?
Well, Perhaps a little bit, but we really, one of our main game goals was to get back in transition and have Texas A&M face a set defense for as many possessions as possible. So we were ready to give up a little bit on the offensive glass to accomplish transition defense and making them attack a set defense. I really think you have to limit. When you play a team who's, you know, more talented than you from top to bottom, high major team, you really have to limit their easy opportunities. I thought we did that for a great deal of the game.
Coach, in your experience, when a team is struggling a little bit and all of a sudden gets a couple of really easy looks on offensive rebounds, how big can that be as far as momentum?
Well, you speaking of for us or for them or just general?
Well, from your experience in general, and certainly what seemed to happen with A&M after Jones right. got those two dunks.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of times, that's where a ball game comes down to, those hustle plays, those second effort opportunities that just get you over the hump and create a little momentum. So, you know, there was penetration there. There was help on our part. And, you know, they did a good job of going to the offensive glass. Those were two huge follow-ups that Texas A&M had. So, yeah, absolutely. They were struggling a little bit. We had the momentum. Shot clock was going down and penetration, which always hurts, and those follow-ups were huge. If I'm not mistaken, then we were down five and we had a good 1-3-1 possession and 5 seconds on the shot clock and they made another big play, and that's what winning teams at this level, that's they make plays.
Coach, could you talk about Texas A&M, their pressure defense, especially on the perimeter in the mid to late second half?
Well, again, they're one of the best defensive teams in the country. Statistics would bear that out, and you know they stepped up and played very good defense. So you give them all the credit in the world.
Coach, just one quick follow-up on Justin Riley. Do you think he was especially motivated today playing a team from his home state?
I'm sure he was motivated. Actually, it probably helped with his confidence level because of the familiarity with some of the guys on Texas A&M's roster. But Justin's a tough kid, and really, if one thing he's shown all year is when he steps on the floor, he's not intimidated. You know, he's aggressive offensively. He's aggressive with everything he does. So it didn't surprise me that for out of all our younger guys, he was the least intimidated. He wasn't intimidated at all.
Coach, back here, Stu Mason, VTech Communications. I wanted to ask you, talk about the benefits that you had of being around Jim Calhoun all those years.
Many. I don't know where to begin, but Coach Calhoun is as competitive of a coach or a person as you can imagine, and you know, he gets the most at every day. I've never experienced a day with Coach Calhoun where he hasn't been prepared and pushed the guys and worked them hard. His concentration level is amazing, and if anything, he really taught me work ethic and perseverance and belief that you can build a program into anything you want it to be. And I'm grateful for the opportunity that he gave me to get into college coaching.
Coach, did you see when Marlon Pompey, 42 for them, started guarding Jabbar, that there was a change there in their defensive intensity and what you were able to get done offensively?
I did. You know, it's when you have those TV timeouts come and you try to wait for the TV timeout, sometimes you can't, but we didn't recognize on the floor as quickly as I would have liked to manipulate the offense to take advantage of that switch to EB created a mismatch opportunity for us with Mark Zoller in the low post, and it just took us too long to recognize that to take advantage of it. We came out after the timeout and did take advantage of it, but